It's Tuesday, August 15th, and you're listening to the Geek News Central podcast, sponsored by GoDaddy.com. Geek News Central is a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network. If it's tech, it's here. Please visit techpodcast.com. Hello, everyone. It's show number 196. We're getting close to that magic 200 number. Strap in. We got a great show for you tonight. Here it comes. All right, everyone, aloha and welcome to the Geek News Central podcast. My name is Todd Cochran, and it's live as it can be, coming to you from historic Ford Island in Honolulu, Hawaii. How is everybody? I tell you what, it's been a fabulous Monday, and it looks like it's going to be a great rest of the week. I hope everyone's had a great start back to the work week, and got some good things to talk about tonight on technology. I mean, lots of really, really good news. Almost too much, to be honest with you. So I had to kind of cull down the actual total number of submissions. We've got some voicemail that came in. You guys tore up the voicemail hotline last show, so we're going to be playing those a little bit later. Lots of great comments, some good suggestions, and I got a couple challenges for you out here. This is going to be for the Mac users. I've had run into a few things I just don't quite know how to handle, so we'll put the call out, call of action. And we'll see how engaged we can get the Mac users. Well, I just want to let you know what was happening this weekend. You know, we're playing a tourist guide to my wife's nephew, and we took him over to the over to North Shore. And, you know, this time of year, the North Shore here in Oahu is really, it's kind of like any other normal beach. And so when you're trying to explain to him that in the January, February, March time frame, when the wave sets get up 25, you know, 30 feet, and where the essentially the road is completely shut down because everyone's trying to come over and watch the wave sets, he just couldn't imagine it. So I had to play some video for him last night, and he was totally blown away how the change in the beach setting and everything is from essentially summer until the you know, the winter months when the surf is good over there. But we went over to the Polynesian Culture Center, and that is a I haven't been over there, I'm not kidding you, probably in 6 years. So it was nice to walk through. Absolutely scorcher of a day. It must have been. It felt like it was 100 degrees. No wind over there for some reason. And, oh, man, it was hot. But I had the HD camera running and burned up two tapes, 2 hours worth of video. So I'm going to be cutting that into a little bit of a, well, I might do a video podcast, and I don't know how I'm going to get 2 hours down to 15 minutes, but it should be fun. But otherwise, yesterday was kind of just a kickback day. Spent some time with the family. Didn't do too much, to be quite honest with you. And come Sunday afternoon, late Sunday afternoon, I was like, oh my goodness, I got a lot of work to do. And really didn't get too much done. It just turned out to be a non-productive day. So today I've been cranking through a bunch of stuff. Back to work, of course, getting my inbox empty there. I had a couple events to go to. So all in all, very, very busy. But I have been playing around. I've been doing some importing of video onto my new MacBook Pro from the HD camera. That worked out pretty good. Now, I do have a question for you Apple users out there. How in the world, okay, I've got some external FireWire drives. And they've all been formatted in Windows format. So I kind of assumed, but I guess I kind of assumed incorrectly, that I could just take those FireWire drives and plug them into the MacBook. Now, it saw all this data that was on there, but it wouldn't let me write to it. What's the trick? Am I going to have to make a partition? Am I going to have to format one of those drives? What's the skinny? Give me a clue. Point me in the right direction. Help me out. Now, on the Mac Mini, I bought an Airport Extreme mod kit for that, so we're going to put that, going to put an Airport Extreme in it, and that is going to be going downstairs into the entertainment center, and it's actually going to become a media center down there for the living room. Okay, for those of you that are checking out the show for the very first time, hey, thanks for checking us out. And, of course, make sure you check out the weblog at Geek News Central. I haven't been posting very much there in the last couple of days. Just been too busy. Get busy on it tomorrow. But typically there's a lot of great content, and all of our associate editors are doing a lot of great submissions. So make sure you check out what they're putting up as well. And, of course, you can check out all of the archive podcasts via link to the there'll be a podcast link on the website. And I do want to point you out to a link that's in the Geek Links on the second column of the website. There's a link that says Podcast Newsletter. That's where you can go to sign up to get the newsletter delivered directly to your inbox. And I know that some of you are having problems getting the newsletter. It appears that some ISPs have added our domain to a spam list. So we have to work on getting the name. I don't know why. You know, everyone is opted in for that newsletter. I guess it's the volume that we're sending out now of that newsletter is probably causing a problem. When we were, you know, 800, 900, 1,000 people subscribed to the newsletter, it wasn't a big deal. 2, 3, 4,000, that's a different story altogether. Also, I would like to remind you that there is a link on that same column that says Free Tech Magazines. And it's a place where you can go and find, there's a lot of great magazines there. Although I know many of you probably get most of your news via the internet, there is some great in-depth articles that you'll find in these magazines that you won't necessarily find all the time online. So check that out and see if there's something there that that'll help, that'll you know, interest you. Okay, what else have I got going on? Hey, I want to thank the folks over at downloadradio.org. They're the ones that do our BitTorrent distribution. Numbers are up on that. People are starting to use it. So I want to remind you that we have a very solid, steady BitTorrent feed now. And that link is available via the website. It says PodTorrent on it. You can find that. Hey, many of you have asked for, can you buy shirts or something? And one of our graphics guys over at PCN put together a website for Blueberry shirts and for also PCN shirts. So I'll have a link up in the show notes where you can get those. We have no markup on them. So you get them at cost, and you should go ahead and check them out. If you're going to the Podcast Expo or going to any podcasting event, you may want to show up with a shirt that is, you know, representative of some podcasting stuff. So, again, Blueberry shirts and PCN shirts are available via that link. Well, you know, here we are. We're at 196, and many of you have been with us for a very long time, have been long-term subscribers to the show, and I want to thank you for, you know, being part of the Ohana and staying subscribed. And telling people about the show. I get comments on a weekly basis coming in saying, hey, so-and-so told me about your show. I've subscribed. It's awesome. Thanks for it. And that's how we build audience here, by you guys spreading the word. I want to do a shout-out a little later to a couple of websites or a couple of podcast sites that did some write-ups on GNC. I want to thank them for that in advance, but we'll be recognizing them near the end of the show. What else? We've got a lot of good stuff. Hey, September 2nd is going to be our next roundtable, and we're going to be absolutely unequivocally focusing on video. You know, I promised that last time, but boys, a couple of things fell through. So now, you know, what our goal is to have a segment that's going to show you how to create your own enhanced podcast and to do some general video editing so you have it ready to go up on some sites like YouTube. We're going to talk about compression. We're going to talk about some techniques that you can use to help speed up the process of any video podcasting that you may do or video casting. And I'm looking forward to that and getting some schooling as well as everyone else. We're going to be using our online meeting tool, GoToMeeting. Of course, you know, we've talked about that a lot here, and you've heard me talk about it. So it's obviously the best web conferencing solution that I have found, and it's because it has some really cool tools. You know, the drawing tools are amazing, and how we can hand off and cross collaborate. I can, you know, even within my screen, I can just hand off the mouse to another user. They can and let them drive. So, you know, integrates with many email and instant messaging apps. So, you know, you can hold meetings instantly, and it's affordable. So try GoToMeeting free for 30 days. Just visit GoToMeeting.com/techpodcast. That's GoToMeeting.com/techpodcast. GoToMeeting, online meetings made easy. All right, you know, I've been playing around with Dragon Natural Speaking for, I guess, four shows now, and boy, I am not at all pleased. I'll be very honest with you, I'm not pleased with the results. And maybe it's because I don't know how to talk or who knows what, but it's definitely having me pay attention to my pronunciation so that the Dragon Natural Speaking software does not pick up the wrong words. And boy, it picks up a lot of wrong words. And I'm going to have to really work on its learning curve. And if it's better than 8 and 9, they still got a long way to go, folks. They really, really do on this. But it's just a work in progress. We're going to see how it works. And I have not put up any of the actual transcriptions because they have just been too sad to put up. And I don't have time, quite honestly, to go edit the entire transcript. Because I think last time there was like 8 single space pages of transcripts. So, and it didn't catch everything. So that was what was kind of confusing. But we'll let you know how it goes. I'm hoping that this gets advanced and gets good enough where we can have a complete transcript of this show that'll go up the same time that the show notes do. And it's pretty powerful stuff when we can do that and have that information indexed within the search engine so that you can better find, or anyone can better find, content that's being produced here at the Geek News Central podcast. All right, if you want to make an impact online, GoDaddy.com has what you need. Keep your personal information away from spammers, hackers, and crazy ex-roommates. Private domain registration from GoDaddy.com protects your privacy by keeping your address, phone number, and more out of the public database. Plus, enter the code Todd, T-O-D-D, when you check out and save an additional 10% on your order. Get your piece of the internet at GoDaddy.com. And, of course, you can always use that Geek5 code, G-E-E-K-5. They'll save you an additional 15% off your order of $20 or more. You're not going to find that anywhere else. That's only here, okay? 15% off. Share it with your friends. Pass it around. Give people some love, okay? That's a good, good code that no one else has. We're only here. All right, thanks for GoDaddy for being a sponsor here at Geek News Central. All right, what have we got? 12 minutes in, and I guess I'm ready to load Feed Demon up. Hey, you know something? Here's a challenge for all of you. I've been playing with the Mac, and I really never used the Mini completely for any production stuff at all. It's kind of been a workhorse. It's been doing a streaming server. It's done sitting there, does FTP. It does, just does kind of like manual labor stuff. And so I'm looking to try to, on the MacBook Pro, to use that more in a production. Give it a chance, okay? And I got Parallels here. I haven't loaded up yet, so we're going to load Parallels on it here in a few days. I actually got to get some of that HD stuff that we've encoded off there because I've already used 80, 80 gigs of the hard drive space. I got to get that stuff encoded, transferred, and free up some hard drive space. So here's my dilemma. I love Feed Demon. Okay, I really, really do. I love the way it does tabbed browsing for all of the RSS articles or all the articles I'm going to be reviewing during the show. You know, it really makes it real easy for me to lay out the program. To date, I have not found a good RSS reader on the Mac. What is the deal? I do not understand that at all. Okay, for those of you that are familiar with Feed Demon, I want the equivalent program for the Mac. That's all I want. Very simple. So point me in the right direction, folks, okay? Educate me, school me up, and it's got to be able to have that those tabs where I can have all the different pages loaded from the RSS stuff that I've already previewed. And if you're not familiar with Feed Demon, I'll send you a screenshot, and then you can point me in the right direction. All right, Mark Cuban has an article on his website that all of you are going to be able to relate to. I guarantee it. If none of you can relate to this, then you haven't been shopping in about the last 2 or 3 years. How many of you went to a major big box or even the grocery store, wherever, and bought something and brought it home, and it's been in one of those plastic enclosures? I recently bought some digital videotapes. I got them at Costco. And when I got home, I essentially had to have an industrial pair of scissors to open it up. My wife has got these scissors that she buys that are semi-disposable, but they are, they're cheap. They really are. I mean, I don't know how much she pays for them, maybe a buck or 75 cents, but they're used in food cutting. You cut food and meat and bones with these scissors. those are the only scissors I have found that have been able to open some of these impregnable plastic shells. Well, Mark Cuban bought a Seagate product which had a 6 gig pocket hard drive within it. And he wants to know, who was the genius, a.k.a. idiot, who designed these packages? You know, come on, there is such a thing as security, but there is such a thing also as ridiculous. You know, he got his finger cut. You know, he says, I started off with some little scissors. Those didn't work. They didn't even put a dent in it. Then I went to the big scissors, and those weren't sharp enough. And then, of course, he says, now my manhood's being challenged. So I go get and I stab something, and I'm trying to rip the plastic, and the plastic cuts his finger. And and then he went to the kitchen and got a butcher knife. Yes, a butcher knife to open up one of these plastic products. How many of you been there? I'm raising my hand. How many of you have actually waited till your wife went upstairs or somewhere, went in another room and grabbed the butcher knife to open up one of these things? Because if she saw you do it, she would scream at you. I've got my hand up in the air. And how many of you put the knife back in the knife rack? Oh, I bet you there's a few of you out there. Now, I didn't go that far, okay? Oh, I got somebody up here that's coming up to visit right now. What are you doing still awake? You want to say hello? He's holding a Pop-Tart, ladies and gentlemen. It is 9 p.m., and a 2-year-old boy by the name of Chris is holding up a Pop-Tart to eat. All right, through the magic of podcasting, it is now 10 minutes later. Have you ever tried to talk a 2-year-old out of a Pop-Tart at 9 o'clock at night and tried to suggest an apple or an orange? That is the ultimate challenge, but mission accomplished, no sugar at 9 p.m. All right, anyway, this getting back to Mark's blog post, you know, I think the marketers, we need to start sending a message to folks that they need to just rethink their product designs or packaging. And I'm not going to say what Mark said, but he was pretty... He thinks that the product manager needs to be fired. And I agree. I think it's true. You know, this is some of this stuff is, and, you know, it's a waste. This big, huge plastic packages for just a little itty bitty product. I know they're trying to prevent theft, but it's such a waste of resources. It's just shocking. It really, really is. All right. I'm sure many of you have already heard this come out, but if you're creating content for Verizon Wireless, there are 83 words that you can't say. And I heard that someone sent me an email on this and actually said that Adam Curry had read through this list on his show. And there's 83 words here that I don't think they've ever graced the show and probably never will. So, but this is, I understand why they've got these 83 words. But at the same point, one of them is five. Why in the world would they ban the word five? I don't understand that. I understand some other numbers, but okay. Well, anyway, that's the deal, and it's we got big news because Verizon is being censoring people. Well, guess what? They have sponsors, and some sponsors don't like these words associated with their brands. All right, there's an article over on backfence.com, and this has made the news big time today. And you know, how many times have you said, just go Google it? Well, Google doesn't like people using the word Google as a verb. They want it to be solely used as explanation to their brand. You know, it's what would they, does you, Google wants to start saying, well, let's go Yahoo it. Or let's go search for it on Google or search for it on Yahoo. They're starting to tell major media people that they do not want them using the word Google as a verb. And it's all about trademark issues. You know, let's be honest. I think over at Google, they have one or two or 100 too many lawyers on staff. They're sitting around trying to figure out what to do during the day. And at the same, you know, here we are. Are these guys like, is this for real? I've got some more stories tonight that is, you're going to say, is this for real? It's just beyond shocking, some of the things that I've seen today. And the Dumber and Dumber department, they just don't, I guess they're not getting it. You know, that memo that you're supposed to have fun at working at Google, and there's supposed to be a community that cares, well, believe me, that's went out the window. It definitely has. Now, this is kind of a non-technical article that I found. I'm not going to talk too much about it. But those of you that are interested or do a lot of follow genealogy pretty close, I want you to take a look at an article that I found over on Blog Critics. It's entitled Hunting Humans, Genealogy and Tintype Photos. For those of you that are genealogy nuts, I think this is a great article that you'll want to check out. That's all I'm really going to go into it. I find this kind of stuff, pass it on to my mom, and I thought some of you may be interested as well. All right, next up is a article that's on ZDNet, and this is just the most absolute shameful thing I think I've read in a long, long time. And I think after you get done hearing this, you're going to agree with me. And it shouldn't come as a surprise to you that this is a story about the Recording Industry Association of America. Well, there was a gentleman by the name of Larry. He's a Vietnam vet, a devoted husband, father, and grandfather. Apparently, Larry had shared some music files via the net, and the RIAA came after Larry. Well, the sympathy should be to go to Larry's family because Larry passed away. Meanwhile, the RIAA essentially said, well, we're sorry that your beloved father died, but we're going to allow you to have 60 days worth of grieving. We'll ask for a 60-day extension to the courts before we drag your behinds back into court and depose you. Oh, yeah. The RIAA is going to continue with a suit against a family of a gentleman who has already died. Is that just an absolute, isn't that just disgusting? Check out what they had to say in their motion. Item number 3 in the motion says, plaintiffs do not believe it appropriate to discuss a resolution of the case with the family so close to Mr. Scantlebury's passing. Plaintiff there requests a stay of 60 days to allow the family additional time to grieve. How can this lawyer, how can this organization, how can they sleep at night? I don't understand it. I really don't. When is this madness going to stop? Here they are. They're going to continue their prosecution against this family, even though the person that is being prosecuted is dead. How can they do that? How can they? The lawyer, any lawyers listening to this show, tell me how they can do that. It's just wrong. Really, really is. Send your hate mail and comments to these folks. They need to be told. They need to stop. They really, really do. Okay. I'll get off my soapbox. On a more positive note, there's a great post on Chris Perillo's website today. And those of you that are tech TV fans, you'll know that Chris and Leo Laporte have been working towards bringing back tech TV in a more of a community type of, you know, where they're going to have community submitted materials. And they've worked really, 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 they've worked on it a lot. And they've announced today that the new website is going to be called Undo TV. UndoTV.com, UndoTV.tv.net, the whole nine yards. They register those domains through GoDaddy, by the way. But this is going to be really, really cool. And the way they're going to work this is listeners are going to be able to submit content to it, and it's going to be, you're going to retain ownership of the content. And they've kind of come up with some plans here, and this is several reasons they've said why Undo TV. They've said that some former tech TV talent are no longer producing tech content. We're undoing tech TV's untimely and unwarranted demise. The television industry is changing, and we're all helping undo it. There are a few preconceived notions with the word undo. The Control-Z reference is geeky enough, but it doesn't turn off non-geeks. the appropriate domains were available, and informal reactions to Undo TV name were positive. And all Tech TV, ZD TV fans will find us no matter what we call it. And that's true. So if you're a big Tech TV fan, Undo TV is on the fast track to move forward. Good luck to Chris and the guys on that. And who knows, maybe have some cool content coming from them in the very near future. All right, another article that's really made some news today, and it's on the Big Hack website at thebighack.org. It's a closing letter to the Copyright Industry Association of America, and it's from a new peer-to-peer type system. It's actually called the Open Free File System. And today they're announcing a massively distributed copyless file system, a place where all content is available instantly, anonymously, and to everyone without breaking any laws. It's an island of sanity in your sea of madness. And essentially, what the deal on this is that they built a system that they're saying they're not going to be able to track or find people that are doing stuff that sharing info. I haven't gotten the full details on the mechanisms, but here's what they're saying on their website. Mark today on your calendar. They will need it for your obituary. Today is a day our future began and your future ended. Kind of sounds like a Matrix type thing, right? But very interesting. Get a lot of press. And they've got this available, this new system available at offsystem.sourceforge.net. And we'll see what comes of this. It kind of sounds like a massively distributed type of hard drive type thing where you can see content that's on other people's drives and vice versa all the time, anytime, anywhere, any place. Very, very interesting to say the least. All right, big news on the Dell front. Dell is going to recall 4 million batteries. Dell and the U.S. Consumer Product Safety Commission plan to recall 4.1 million notebook batteries on starting tomorrow. A company representative confirmed on Monday the recall affects certain Inspiron, Latitude, and Precision mobile workstations and XPS units shipped between April 2004 and July 18, 2006. Apparently, our good friends at Sony manufactured the batteries that are being recalled, the rep said. So this is huge. I'm sure they're going to have a nice loss on their bottom line this quarter, but 4.1 million notebook batteries are being recalled. If you have a notebook that is affected, you are definitely going to want to get the battery replaced. Let's see what else is going to be here. Sony's going to be helping to pay the costs associated with the recall. And at the moment, this is the largest battery recall in history. And one of you sent me a link. I've got it. Oh, how did I get it? And apparently, mark my words, the FAA and FCC, FAA being the Federal Aviation Administration, and the FCC are looking at what's going on with these exploding batteries. It could be very well, besides water that we're not going to be able to carry on airplanes, we may not be able to have our laptops on airplanes soon as well. There is a deep concern. We'll have to keep our eyes peeled, but wow, what would we do if they said you can take your laptop, sir, but you can't take your battery? Oh man, not good. That is a chapter Dell does not want to have attributed to them. That would be the death of that company. It really would if that happens. We'll see what happens, but it's being looked at very close. I have the link to it in the show notes. A listener sent me a link. I'm sorry, I don't have it in front of me. I've got it. I'll have to dig it out. All right, there's a cool article on Scientific American, and the title of it is What Happens When Lightning Strikes an Airplane? Now, I'm sure many of you have flown on commercial flights where the weather wasn't quite perfect, and you saw out the window some lightning going on, but I'm sure most of you have probably never had the joy of experiencing a lightning strike on an aircraft. Now, it's it happens all the time, and with me having flown for 22 years and nearly close to 10,000 flight hours, I've had my fair share of lightning strikes because essentially I've been on aircraft that are all weather. We purposely fly close to weather, go through it the whole nine yards. Matter of fact, I was in one aircraft that had, we don't purposely try to get lightning strikes. That's not a cool thing. But I had one aircraft that I was in that got 7 lightning strikes in 15 minutes. That was a little bit excessive. We had got a little smoke in the tube from that one. But generally, that doesn't happen. Normally, it's you know, you hear kind of a thump, and then it's you think, oh, something happened, and you get back on the ground, and you look, and you see the damage. But each joint or each panel that opens on an aircraft is all has bonding wire. Essentially, there's tests that are done between different segments of the aircraft to make sure that, you know, if a lightning strike happens on the nose, that there's a clear path for that electricity to go through to the back of the aircraft, and then it's discharged through static wicks, which are essentially, a static wick is a little bit of a, you'll see them on aircraft if you look on the wings, on the usually on the tails, on the ailerons, and the rudders. You see these little sticks that are sticking out, and they kind of, and they're made of a carbon composite. And what'll happen is it's designed to discharge electrostatic buildup on the aircraft, including gives a path for lightning to go when there's a lightning strike. And all that has to be bonded perfectly with no resistance, and et cetera. So, you know, it's a little bit of science that goes behind it, but it's not complicated. Typically, what will happen, though, is if you don't have good bonding on an aircraft, the lightning's going to come in. It's going to find a way out, and typically it'll go through sections of the aircraft that's the thinnest, so you may have little peppered holes where the lightning has actually exited the aircraft. That doesn't happen all the time. Generally, you have these static wicks that are just missing. They get completely vaporized, or the ends are shredded, and they look like they've exploded. But, you know, they actually have testing where you they pull an aircraft into a hangar, and they fire on it with high voltage. And then using a headset and a radio, they're able to tell where an aircraft does not have good bonding, can find the weakness points, and they can go in and clean up either corrosion or do better bonding. But there's laboratory tests that are done on the commercial side of when aircraft are being built, and also general maintenance stuff. So I thought you guys would get a kick out of this on what goes on essentially in this testing, and what happens to aircraft that get struck by lightning. And so the next time when you're on an airplane and you are getting ready to go into a storm, you'll have a story point to talk about. Said, hey, this guy, I heard this guy talking on podcasts about this before, and I read this on Scientific American. What's really going on when if an airplane gets hit by lightning? Now, nothing is perfect, folks. Okay, but generally, thousands of aircraft get hit every year by lightning. It's obvious, you know, they're flying through the air, flying through weather. It's going to happen, but it's definitely an eye-opener when it happens, especially if you're sitting in the cockpit and you get a strike on the nose or something. that will wake up it'll wake you up and get the pucker factor going. It definitely will. All right, how many of you listened to radio segments? I think Howard Stern does these a lot. I know Sean Hannity does. I know different radio disc jockeys do it, where they take a guy and they send the guy out on the street and they ask people ridiculous questions like when is the birth of our country? Who is the current president, vice president? Ask all these questions. Well, how well do you do when you hear people talking about this stuff? Well, right now there is a test that you can do on yourself, and can you pass a third grade test? And this is essentially a geography test. So I challenge all of you to go over to digyourowngrave.com, and you can take the grade 3 geography test, and give you a little bit of a time limit and see if you can name the states that are in the geography test, and if you get them all right. Oh, a little challenge here, okay? And do it honestly. Don't ask for help, and see if you can get them. And that way, when your kids come to you and say, hey, Dad, what is where's this state? You can actually point it out and get it correct. Because I bet you that maybe 10 to 20% of you can't get all of them right. You'll see. Go ahead and try it out. And I'll have the link up in the show notes as well. All right, those of you that are running your own Apache servers, if you want to test your Apache for security vulnerabilities, there's a good how-to over at howtoforge.org. It's about Apache security testing with a product called Nikto, N-I-K-T-O. Read through this. Is a pretty cool way to test Apache, give a little bit of a security check. So you can check this out if you are wanting to see if your Apache server is secure. All right, there's an announcement today that there's a new Blogger that's coming out. Blogger is starting really a new platform, which has been in the works for a while now. Apparently, the emphasis is going to be on what you see is what you get type of templates with elements. You're going to be able to put labels, in other words, 8K tags. You're going to have access control to certain areas where you can keep stuff private. Going to be a big transition here, and they're going to tie Google logins into it, the whole nine yards. So for those of you using Blogger, big changes ahead on your blogging application. So there's a beta out, and you'll be able to keep watching what's happening over there, because there is going to be some transition and some changes that you're going to have to go through on your blog. And what a better time when they're doing a transition than to leave Blogger and get your own domain name and have your own web blog and your own host and take control of your life and, move up a factor or two. All right, I've been following what's been going on in Second Life. Quite honestly, in the last couple of weeks, I have been in there very, very little. Matter of fact, I had a spot rented on Adam Curry's podcast island that I never even used. I think I threw away a whole $12 or something. But there's a lot of activity continuing on there. A lot more podcasters in there. But there's a little bit of information from Second Life right now. They're getting ready to shut down their community forums. If you haven't visited Second Life yet, when you get in there, do a search for PCN Tech Podcast Raw Voice. We've got all our properties in there. And the Raw Voice stuff, we need a little work on, the building does. But stream is running. You'll be able to listen to shows on the PCN network over there as well. So if you're not in Second Life, haven't checked it out, fair warning, it's a little bit addictive. So, and it can be a time trap. You get in there and you'll say, where did those 5 hours go? Fair warning, but check it out. All right, found a link at applelinks.com. Talks about a new product called TubeSock, and it allows you to copy videos to your iPod or Mac from YouTube. So if you're looking to do some of that, you can check it out. It's a demoware, but there is a $15 registration fee. It's gotten a little bit of press today. You can check that out via the show links. All right, I found an article today on GigaOm, and I'd be honest with you, this blog, they just keep continuing to come up with great stuff, great articles. But there's an article that makes me kind of go, and this one's about an Indian a village in India that has put up its own website, and it's an attempt for them to be able to talk about what's going on in their community, address problems, make the government aware in the whole nine yards. But what's interesting is the village doesn't have a single internet connection. And there's only two computers in the entire village. One of them is used to teach people how to type. But yet they put up this weblog. And it just goes to show you that there is still and there's here in this article, there's some things that I don't necessarily completely agree with in his conclusions. But it just goes to show you that there's a lot of the world that is not connected. And they're trying to get connected. But, it kind of goes back full circle. And I got to thinking, I thought about this before. If you look at this medium that we have right now and how we're delivering content, there's a million ways to deliver content. Streams, podcasts, video presentations, you name it. You can get a lot of content distributed, a lot of valuable content for people that are in third world countries, so, give them the viability to be able to gain access to stuff they normally wouldn't be able to. But it's great to have all this great content, but it's absolutely sad that they can't actually access it. And I know there's a big UN thing, and there's this laptop, the $100 laptop project that's out there. I think anything that we as geeks and as technical people can do to support other people getting connected and getting access to this media, and be it educational, be it entertainment, doesn't matter, but it gives people a different perspective and opens people's eyes to what's out there and what's available. I don't know if it's going to, when they see that, I'm sure in certain circumstances it may build resentment. But at the same time, it may give someone hope if they are able to access information and give people in these remote areas the tools that they need to, you know, and to improve their quality of life. And but anyway, check this out, and it's a very kind of an eye opener. You know, you expect today to see net access essentially worldwide, and it's not. It really, really isn't. It's not out there worldwide yet. A lot of people are still not connected, and hopefully we can do something to make our, you know, help do our part to help get those that are not connected connected. And it can start right in our own backyards as well, within our own communities. We don't have to, you know, send computers and stuff overseas. We can help those that are, you know, less, you know, those that are needy in our local communities. All right, I found some article on masternewsmedia.org, Sherwood Picnic number 65, and there was one website in here that really, oh, there it is, that really stuck out. It's called Printer Anywhere, and I'm going to read straight from his posting. It says, Printer Anywhere is a solution to print documents from a computer connected to the internet to other people's printers on the network. You can print directly from your application, such as Microsoft Word, Outlook, or any other program you work with to a printer connected to another computer next door or 10,000 miles away. With Printer Anywhere, you can share your printers with others or print your documents on someone else's printer. Unlike fax, Printer Anywhere does not require the documents being scanned and only then transmitted. You don't want to send email electronic copies of documents. It's also useful whenever the recipient does not have the application to open your document. Free download available at printeranywhere.com. Very, very cool. Because this is really, really cool. Because, you know, if I'm off somewhere and I want to get something printed, and I can always tell my wife, hey, throw that in a FedEx envelope. If I'm not, you know, instead of having to deal with a hotel printing something, if I can be on the road. You know, there's obviously you can remote access different PCs, but if you have a little application that just makes it easy, very, very, very cool. But there's some other great sites in here as well. Let's see here, what else have we got? We've got 411 Sync, Team Spinner, Picture Push, Video DL, Inquisit. What else have we got? Accelery. All these great Web 2.0 websites. Check it out, Robin. Goods, new Media Picks of the Week, Sherwood Picnic number 65. All right, I found, you know, Robert Scoble has been essentially the previous week was disconnected off the net. He was at his passed on mother's home in Montana, and they did a short video clip of her basement. And how many of you have basements that you would never want someone to see? Well, she belonged to a church. It was called Church Universal and Triumphant Cult. That's what they put on this posting, which believed that World War III was imminent back in the 80s. She had stockpiled just an unbelievable amount of food, and wait till you see this video. Robert was gracious enough to allow him to record it, but he actually kind of talked about some of the thought process there, but wow. I don't know if I'd want to eat food, though, that's been stored since the 90s or even the 80s. But anyway, check this out. I have a link up in the show notes, kind of an eye-opener for me to see that. All right, there's going to be some 1-terabyte hard drives debuting later this year. And if there's a storage fanatic in your family, a perfect gift could be coming for her or him with these 1-terabyte hard drives. And what's kind of funny, and this, you know, we're all storage junkies, right? But there's a comment in here that says, let me go back up. Let me find it. I can't find where they actually said it, but they said, who's really going to need a 1-terabyte hard drive? First hard drive I had was a 64 meg RLL hard drive that went in a Commodore Colt. I can't even remember what it cost me, but I was a king of the hill having a 64 meg hard drive on an 8088 processor. I thought I was the man. Oh, here's the quote. Granted, few people really need 1 terabyte of storage, but it sounds cool, sort of like it could be running a ballistic missile tracking site in your den. 1 terabyte is not a big stretch, folks. Considering what I'm seeing HD videos take up for space, we're going to need lots and lots and lots of storage. I'm going to just tell you that straight up. All right, Verizon has added a multi-room DVR, and you know, I only know one person. There's only one person I know here in Hawaii that's actually got a Verizon TV package. I've never seen anyone else that I know have this. So how many of you have got Verizon TV package? But anyway, they've got a multi-room DVR that allows you to have one DVR that'll play back on three different TVs in your home. Now, I don't know how they're accomplishing this. I don't know how they're routing it, but three of you can be watching separate TV shows at the same time. And with some of these digital homes and how they're hooked up, I really want to see how they're doing this. I really, really do. Because I can't imagine each TV must have some special box in order to do this. I can't imagine. It's got to be. That's the only way it could be. Unless they're putting it back in a specific channel or something like that. But anyway, they're offering that up, and it's essentially kind of a wake-up call to some of the other services out there that have been dragging their feet. All right, how many of you do a lot of flying? How many do many traveling in the car? How many of you's laptop batteries die a lot sooner than you wish they would? Well, there's 10 tips on maximizing laptop battery performance. And really some common sense stuff here, but brightness, how low can you go? Don't use any external devices. Single task, not multitask. Keep it cool. Shut down unused services. Do hibernate. Do not suspend. Tweak advanced settings. Choose wisely, watch that hard drive, like a Boy Scout, be prepared. Well, anyway, and there's comments that go along with each one of those bullet points, and you can find that at livedigitally.com. All right, what else have I got here for you tonight? I got about three or four more articles here. I already talked about that. That's a duplicate, so we can close that up. All right, how many of you have a MacBook Pros that you are having a problem getting a Wi-Fi signal to? You're on the edge, and you need a little more oomph out of your signal. Well, there's a new product on the market. It's called the QuickerTech Wi-Fi Transceiver from QuickerTech. It claims to double the Wi-Fi signal strength on your MacBook Pro. They're claiming here. Look at the price tag: $274.95 is what it costs. Available on the internet, but if you are definitely need more range, and if you're close to a Wi-Fi hotspot, you need just a little more oomph, this thing actually wires in, and it allows you to have an external antenna that you can put on top of your MacBook to get some more range. So I don't have that issue, but for those of you that you do, you might want to check that out. Here's something on the science front, and we actually had a caller respond to our last medical type program, and I think this is pretty cool. They took a mouse that had been frozen for 15 years, and they were able to extract sperm from the mouse and actually use that to yield normal, healthy offspring in a study which researchers say heralds fresh hopes for bringing back extinct species. So this is kind of interesting. To think that they could have this mouse froze for 14 years and yet be able to extract the cells that they needed to make this happen. So check this out. This is kind of on the science front, kind of cool. But the mouse had been frozen in a conventional freezer at minus 20 degrees. So it wasn't nothing. It was super fancy. It wasn't in one of those liquid nitrogen systems or nothing. But just in a conventional freezer or dry ice worked pretty good. So cool thing on the science front. I guess that's it. Let's play the audio comments, and then we'll go into the actual listener comments.
Hey, Todd, it's Tom calling from Chicago. I just was commenting. I'm a little bit late on the show, listening to Friday's show. And I just wanted to comment regarding the satellite radio. Your comment, you were talking about it kind of being... whether or not it was going to be taken over by podcast. You know, the problem with satellite is the same problem that there is with satellite TV. There's just way too many channels of just junk. So, just too much. It's you can pick good channels or, just My point is that satellite radio to me, I don't listen to any of it, and I've got no desire to listen to it because it's not what I want to listen to right now. You know what I mean? So I would love to see the day where you can, you know, where maybe satellite takes over as the next Wi-Fi kind of thing, where you can actually download, you know, as you know, be walking around and actually pick up a podcast or a walking tour or something like that from some type of satellite uplink at some point. So anyway, that's my two cents. I hate satellite everything. You know, they just try to jam or cram more junk down your throats that you don't need, if that makes sense, with advertising sometimes. Well, actually, it's not on that, but satellite TV is awful. Anyway, that's just my two cents. Keep up the good work. We'll talk later. Bye-bye.
Hey, you know, I think what's going to happen there is that as Apple and as Microsoft get smart, matter of fact, they're indicating that the Zune that Microsoft is going to be releasing as a new media player is going to have Wi-Fi built in. And that's the rumor on the street. Now, if Apple does the same thing, you know, no longer are we going to be anchored to our docking stations. We could be anywhere and get a feed update. Anywhere there's a Wi-Fi signal, you know, even if they get the technology down where they can have EVDO built into this. You know, I think what the cell companies ought to do, and this is where they need to really get on board and get smart, is if, you know, say, example, I have a Sprint EVDO card and I'm paying for that service, I should be able to have that service tied to more than one device. I should be able to have it tied to a media device. I should be able to have it tied to, obviously, my phone, or I should be able to have it tied to a card in my computer that could be used each independently, not at the same time, or maybe even all at the same time without having to pay three subscription fees. If the companies want to get smart, they'll have multi-home systems for, you know, for geeks like us that want to be connected with all our devices all the time, instead of having to pay multiple services. You know, you have a BlackBerry, you have a phone, you have, you know, some of you have a PDA, you have your portable, you know, it depends on if you've got all those devices instead of just one. Obviously, you want them all to update this, you know, at the same time without having to go dock something or do some stupid transfer. So, you know, that's what could be coming. We'll see. We'll see if they get smart and get that done. But let's move on to the next audio comment.
Hey, Todd. This is Scott, and I'm calling kind of in response to your little story about watching intervention on your DVR. Well, I work at night frying donuts at a grocery store, and there's no way I can watch some shows on live TV. And I heard that one of my favorite TV shows, Stargate, on the Sci-Fi Channel, the same channel that seemed to have started being forward-thinking by offering things online and all that other fun stuff. Well, anyway, they said that if people go back to listen or watching Stargate live, there's going to be another season. To me, that sounds kind of like blackmail. And it's actually just pissing me off. I'd like to hear your comments on that.
I think what these companies are up to is that they advertisers want to make sure that they get some money back on their investment. And if people are just fast-forwarding through these commercials and they're not seeing a return, because they measure that, if they're not seeing a return on their dollar, you know, these production companies can't afford to create content. So, you know, it's a double-edged sword. And I don't know. I think it's one of those things that's it's going to be sad, but people are moving to a DVR type of mentality, and very few people are watching live TV. You know, at least those of us that have gotten hooked on the DVRs, we know how powerful they are and time saver. You know, when I can take a 60-minute program and I can compress it into 40 minutes and bypass the other, you know, that's some extra TV time that I can watch that I normally wouldn't be able to otherwise. So, but if for them wanting us to get back to it, I don't know. Maybe what they need to do is instead of having you know, request it that you watch it live, maybe they need to embed commercials within the content somewhere. You know, that kind of destroys it, the whole plot, but you know, that might be one way that they can do to fix it. All right, here's our next audio comment.
Hello, Todd. This is Campbell. We produce STAT, the podcast of Clinical Neurology News, and I appreciate your comment on your last show about Alzheimer's. I think it's even more amazing news that's come out about Alzheimer's is the infectious role of Borrelia burgdorferi. That's the Lyme disease spirochete, and I think listeners would may be interested in hearing the production that we did on that with an interview with Dr. Alan McDonald. They can find it. It's episode number 26. And you can go to the STAT website at medicalnewspodcasts.com. Pretty amazing stuff that if we could prove, which apparently there's pretty good proof that Alzheimer's is related to an infection, imagine what we could do to turn around this disease, cure it. Okay, thanks. Great show. And even bringing in the medical part is appreciated. Bye-bye.
Hey, thank you very much. And got the doctor in the house, folks. That's right. So if any of you have any serious medical questions, you never need to go over and listen to his show. So thanks for commenting on that. Do appreciate it. And we'll see how that development goes. One I will definitely check out myself as well. All right, got a very lengthy email from Phil. I don't know if I'm going to be able to go through all this with all the time, but I asked her some feedback from people if they had any UFO stories. And he says, Todd, just in case you don't get the email, here's a transcript. I come from the Peak District, which is a UFO hotspot in England. Enjoy. And let me just read a couple of things he said here. He said, now over the years, I've seen some very strange things in the skies. I should at this point make it clear that I grew up in the Peak District, which has more than its fair share of strange aerial sightings. I'm certainly not claiming that all the strange things I've seen in the skies are alien spaceships, simply that I don't know what they were, and that they seemed so profoundly strange to me that I could not simply dismiss them or forget them ever. Number one, the flying iron. Flying iron-shaped UFO, aged about 15, walking along Gordon Road in the early evening, my friend Lee, and I won't say his last name, and I saw a strange craft flying at very high speed. It crossed the entire sky in just a few seconds and didn't make a sound. I remember us both commenting on the speed and strange shape. It was shaped like an old-fashioned iron. It was flying slightly on its side, too. Number two, the splitting stars. I was walking home late one night when I noticed a very bright star coming in my general direction. My immediate thought was that it must be a jumbo jet. However, it was not on a normal flight path over the village. The object was really bright. That is what struck me as unusual. I was thinking, this is very low and can't be that far away. Then the object stopped and froze, still glowing brightly. Next, I couldn't believe my eyes as it split into two parts. A new object shot off to the right at lightning pace. It went in what appeared to be a few miles. Then it too froze. I was looking at two objects just hanging there twinkling. Then as suddenly as before, the second object sped back the way it had come and disappeared promptly, followed by the first object. I just stood there gaping. The star split into two, then zoomed off. Whoa, that was a good one, Phil. Did anyone else get some chills up your back? pull the curtains down, please. Oh, wow. That one was a freaky. What I'm going to do is he's got some more here, and I'm going to put these up in on Geek News Central tomorrow. All right, so I'll give you guys a chance to come over and visit and see all of Phil's stories. And he's got some links and stuff on his on this here that he's got some general websites to point at. But, the orb. I want to read this one. The orb, this story is the best, absolute piece de resistance of my UFO stories. I was living in Tunstall at the time. I had a job delivering the Betterware magazine in my local area. I was down in Longport area at the time of my extraordinary sighting. I noticed a bright red flashing light above the electricity substation, which is on the hill. My first thought was that it was a beacon of some kind. Then I noticed it move. Again, I thought it was just a helicopter or something. Then the light began moving in my direction. It came right down over Longport and turned slowly over the building that was part of Cookies Lights and Sound. As it turned, I could see that it was no bigger than a mini. I guess that's some sort of a car. It was sort of egg-shaped, or more like an iMac, okay, it had a red light on the tail that went from the roof to the floor. It moved slowly and silently. It then glided over buildings and down over the road and off down the railroad track. Again, I just stood and gaped. Have you or anyone else seen anything strange at these times? If so, let me know. So anyway, these are some more stories, but wow, some cool stuff, Phil. Thanks for the inputs. Put these up on the website. Man, you've had some good ones, dude. All these are really good ones, and some great drawings as well, and we'll put that up. I got an email from JP earlier in the week that sent me a little email. It says that, hey, did you see this about Apple, that they're in trouble with NASDAQ and their reporting? Well, I think, JP, that Apple's, like some other companies, have had some stock irregularities in the way they have distributed stuff, and it's coming back to haunt them. So we will see how bad they get whacked on this, but they're going to make some sort of a filing to request a hearing with NASDAQ as not to get delisted. Obviously, that's not going to happen, and then, of course, that'll give them, I think, 3 months, so they'll have time to get their act together and get their reporting for their earnings out. Hey, I want to give a big, huge, big-time shout-out to Sean. He said, hey, Todd, I'm listening to number 195, and you heard you call out for EVDO solutions for your MacBook Pro. Here's what I end up doing so that I could share my Verizon Wireless EVDO connection among my Mac Win XP and Linux laptops. I bought a Corsair KR1 router, $299, and it works very well. Granted, it's an extra brick to carry with you as you go. However, it's lightweight, runs on a 12-volt car adapter on a, and on AC, and it will work with your any of your Wi-Fi devices. In fact, I use it as my broadband connection at home and our vacation cabin. Score! I should have remembered this, Sean. Thanks so much. And the card that I have will work in that box. Ordered on the way. We'll report back to you. Very, very happy. A little pricey, but boy, I tell you, I had done a review on some stuff like this before. And why didn't I think of this? But thanks for triggering my brain and dialing me in. I got an email from Carol. Oh, we are over an hour. Well, I'm going to get busted by all you guys. I got an email from Carol. He says, hi, Todd, I'm from Michigan, too. I moved back here a couple of years ago to be closer to my family and my parents. I live just outside Grand Rapids. He says, the reason I took French in school rather than Spanish was because every year there was a class trip to Montreal, which is a French-speaking city. Yep, that's true. I kind of forgot about that, that there is in Montreal they speak French. So I think my French, or not mine, but our French class went to, did the same thing. So maybe that was the reason why there was French class so much in Michigan. But he went on to talk about this a little more, and he said, P.S., I was listening to another podcast where somebody was looking at alternatives to getting mail from their own ISP because the ISP was going to start charging them $30 a month for each mailbox. They were talking about setting up a website with a mail server on their own PC and basically having to use SendMail. Do you know if I can tell if GoDaddy offers a website with mail? I'll have to check that out for you, Carol, and see what I can find out. Did I call you Carl earlier? I'm sorry, but let me see what I can find out, Carol, there on that as well. Okay, what else have we got going on here? Oh, I am absolutely out of time. There was a lot more email, and I'll try to get to it at a later time. Some stuff on the Mac, on the Power Mac, and the whole nine yards. But hey, thanks for being here, folks. Thanks for staying subscribed. Thanks for keeping the email flowing. Absolutely love it, and your comments, and of course, dial into the voicemail hotline as we march on here to 200. I'm going to do something special for you folks. Haven't quite figured it out yet, but come up with a game plan very, very shortly. And as always, send your comments to voicemail at 619-342-7365, 619-342-7365. Put that in your cell phone now, okay, so that next time you're listening to the show and you got a comment, you can dial in. You can send email to geeknews@gmail.com, geeknews@gmail.com. And as always, we'll be back with you on Friday. Sorry for the long show. Hey, what can I say? Great comments tonight, and it just went long. Until next time, take care. Aloha.